It is thinking about the gift of God. It's one of history's great paradoxes that there was no place for the one gift that every human being desperately needs, and that is whether he knows it or not. And that gift is what we considered this morning, is it not? And people hide their faces from him, according to Isaiah 53. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, according to John 1. But as many as received him, that wonderful gift, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. What a great gift. And that's the way it was at once with so many of us. We hid our faces from him. We turned our backs from him. But he got the better hand of us. And he won us to himself. What a gift. What a God. What a Savior. Tonight I'd like to follow up a little bit on that and consider one of the wondrous intrinsic excellencies of our God. And that is this: he is able to make all things new. In Revelation 21 and verse 5, it says this: "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." That was John receiving the revelation of Jesus Christ on the Isle of Patmos. John was the beloved disciple of the Lord, that very one who was able to rest his head on the bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was writing these wondrous things down, these what I've referred to as intrinsic excellencies of Almighty God. And just some of the things that I have, as I was meditating upon this and preparing for this, these things that he makes new, I'd like just like to share a few of them with you and give you scriptural references. Let me just give you a rundown of them first, and then we'll look at some of the passages of scripture. He says, "Behold, a new heaven and a new earth." That's something that we will see. "Behold, a new song in my mouth, praise unto our God. Behold, I do a new thing. Behold, thou shalt be called by a new name. Behold, a new heart and a new spirit will I put inside of you. Behold, the new covenant." That is the New Testament. Remember when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, the Lord Jesus said, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." A new covenant he made. He says, "Behold, there's a new and living way. Behold, there's a new creature. Behold, there's a new message of reconciliation. And did you know, behold, there's a new commandment." Some have often called that the new commandment of God. And then, behold, there are new mercies that are given every morning. First of all, why don't we pray together as we, and then we'll look at these passages of scripture that tell us of God that makes all things new. Our Father in heaven, we humbly bow before thee, knowing that you are almighty, you are all powerful, you are the King of kings, the Lord of lords. And Lord, we know that you are full of excellencies, and we desire to look into them. Like the angels who desire to look into the wonders of salvation, we desire to know you better. And as we close out this year, Lord, we thank you for the things we've learned. We thank you for the blessings we've received from your hand. We thank you for all the heavenly grain that we have gleaned. And we would ask that you would bless us as we close out this year and go into a new year looking for more and more of you and more of the same. We ask this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, let's take our Bibles and turn to Revelation 21. Revelation 21, where he talks about this new heaven and new earth and a new hope that he's given to us. In Revelation 21, John writes this, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.'" What a new hope. In verse 5 he says, "And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.'" That is the God that we're considering tonight. The new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, the new hope that he's given to his people. The second thing I'd like us to consider is the wonder of him putting a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Psalm 40, the writing of David. David talks about how the Lord heard his cry. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." A new song that we sing as believers. You know, God has revealed himself as a God of music and great music. Music that honors him. The world is full of music, is it not? And we oftentimes, you know, there's actually even a station that's called the Oldies. And you know, for some of us who got saved later on in life, we sometimes hear those old tunes, and they can remind us of fun times. They can remind us of decadent times. They can remind us of things that it's even a shame for us to think about anymore. But the new song that God has given to us is something very special, is it not? It's the hymns that we sing. It's the song that he's put in our heart. It's the levity that he gives, the joy that he gives to us, the blessings that he gives to us. It's a new song, and it's worth singing. In Psalm 33, verse 3, it says, "Sing unto him that new song." God is pleased when we as his children sing unto him and praise unto him. You know, sometimes a lot of us, we don't like to sing out loud because we don't think we sing very well. And, so we kind of keep it to ourselves. But the Lord says, "Sing unto me," you know, and it's beautiful noise to him. You know, it's a new song. It's a blessing to him to hear his redeemed people singing a new song because they have been made new by him. And we have a new song to sing. In Psalm 98, verse 1 says, "O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory." The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. That new song that we sing is a song that it baffles the heathen. And it's something that blesses us, but it baffles them. And so here we have this new song that God, this one that makes all things new, wants us to make known. The next thing is this new name that he gives to us. In Isaiah 62:1, it says this, "For Zion's sake I will not hold my peace, for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteous thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name." We sing that hymn, "There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine." It's one of those new songs that we sing because we have been redeemed. It's a new name. Remember when the Christians were first called Christians, where? Anybody know? Antioch, remember? They were first called Christians at Antioch, and they were known. They bear the name of Jesus Christ. That's the new name. That is the new name that we bear. And which the mouth of the Lord shall name. The Lord has given us a new name, and that's a real blessing to us as well. There's another thing he gives to us. It's a new heart and a new spirit. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 11, verse 19, he says this, "And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart of your flesh, of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God." What a wonderful thing it is that God puts a new spirit and a new heart within us, a new desire. And that's what he promised that he would do. And he is this God that does it and makes all things new. And so these are all just things that the Holy Scriptures reveal to us. Then there is what we call the New Covenant, better known to us in the New Testament as the New Testament. In Jeremiah 31, verse 31, he says this, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be called, this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord, and I will put my law in their inner parts, and I will write them in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." And that is this new covenant that he promised to make with us. And when the Lord Jesus Christ appeared on the scene, and he said this, he when he gave his disciples the Lord's Supper that night in the upper room, and he told us to continue to do that, and we do. He said this, he took the cup, he gave thanks, and he drank it, and he said, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." The new covenant that he made with us, and that he makes all things new for us. And then the author of Hebrews talks of something else new. It's a new and living way. A new and living way. Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 23. He says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." By the way, that was something new. We, as brethren, can enter into the presence of Almighty God. In the Old Testament, remember, there was just the priest that would go for the people and represent the people before God. But now, In this New Testament, in this New Covenant, when the veil of the temple was rent in twain, we now have this new and living way, this new access to go into the very presence of Almighty God as brethren. That's what he says. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to go. And Peter reveals to us that each and every believer now is a priest, a believer priest. And that's a very something that was very new. We have boldness to enter in to the holiest of all by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then he says in verse 20, Hebrews 10:20, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart full of assurance, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold fast our profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that is promised. This God with these intrinsic excellency, he is faithful who has promised this new and living way. And then, you know, we often talk about this expression that is found in 2 Corinthians 5, and we were even in that in Sunday school this morning, where the Apostle Paul writes about the new creation in verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature or creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He makes the person new. It's that change of life, that change of heart, that new and living way, that new covenant, that new song that's put in our mouths. And then something else he does for us. He gives us new work to do, found in that same passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And he tells us, listen to what he says. He says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And that idea of reconciliation, I heard a discussion after Sunday school. We just didn't have time to get to it all. That's such a rich passage in 2 Corinthians 4 and 5, two of my favorite chapters in all the Bible. That word reconciliation, it's a word that means bringing together those who were once enemies, those who were estranged, making them come together. And that's what that word reconciled means. And that's what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. Because we were estranged from him. We were laden with sin. And it's our sin that separated us from the holy God. And so we were separated from God, not because of him, but because of ourselves. But God reconciled us. And it says, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. So the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, this new sacrifice, was a new sacrifice. All the Old Testament sacrifices were temporary. His new sacrifice was permanent. And he not only did he reconcile us and forgive us of all our sin and remove our guilt, he also, it says, and he hath given unto us a new ministry of reconciliation. In other words, we were reconciled, and now we are to be the agents of reconciliation. You might say we are to tell people that they also can be reconciled, because he goes on and he says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ in that same passage. And we tell people, we pray to them, we beg for them to be reconciled to God, because God made Christ to be sin for us in order to reconcile us. And Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Think about that. We were unrighteous, he reconciled us, and now we're righteous. It's a wonder. What an excellent God. Paul says in Galatians 6:14, "But God forbid that we should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus there is neither circumcision availeth anything, or uncircumcision, but a new creature." The important thing is that you're a new creature. And that's what Paul is talking about. That is what is made new. We are made new in God's sight. And listen, the life that is made new in God's sight ought to be made apparent in this world. Away with the one who says, "Well, I got saved, but I still live the way I used to live." No, it's not that way. You can't live like you used to live before you were a Christian. All things are new because God makes all things new. And then let me just share with you one other new thing, and that is the new commandment, sometimes referred to as the 11th commandment of God. It's found in John 13:34. Jesus said this, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." You see, it's apparent. And it's a new commandment that we are to love one another. We are to forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. Well, these are just some of the things that God, that makes all things new, does for us. May I go on? There's another one. His new mercies. Lamentations. That is the weeping prophet. He was lamenting. Jeremiah. He said this in Lamentations 3. "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." By the way, all these things that he's telling us, he's a God that makes things new. It's to cause us to be hopeful in him. He says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning." That is, his mercies are new every morning. Think about that. If we could remember that as soon as we wake in the morning. Maybe we will have an alarm clock that sings to us, "Great is thy faithfulness," for his mercies that are new every morning. And we could hear that first thing every morning. Hey, Rowan, invent that, would you? And patent it, would you? You make a real impact for the Lord if we could do that. They are new every morning. And then he says, "Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." His mercies are new every morning. Praise the Lord for that. Well, these are all the things that he says. This God that makes all things new. New heaven, new earth, a new song. He will do new things. He's given us a new name, a new heart, new spirit, a new covenant, a new and living way, a new creation, a new message, a new commandment, new mercies. And behold, here we are facing another year of new things. And our expectation is of the Lord that he will make things new for us in the new year. What a great God we serve. He is able. And the question is, are we willing to walk with him and to resolve to walk with him in this new and living way? What will we make of the new year for God? I trust that we would affirm our faith in him, in the great excellencies that he possesses, and that we would rejoice that he is a God that makes all things new. Well, let's remember that as we close this year and go into next year. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank and praise you for your most holy word, that you have revealed these most holy truths to us. And Lord, we do not take them for granted, but we rejoice in the things that you've revealed to us about yourself. You are a great God. It humbles us to know more and more about you. But we want to continue, as long as we have breath, to grow in the grace and knowledge of you and Jesus Christ, your Son. For we ask this in his precious name. Amen.